You can now recycle compact fluorescent bulbs in Lane County. Recycle locations are Jerry's Home Improvement Center in Eugene and Springfield, Aqua Serene on West 11th, True Value Hardware in Eugene or Junction City, Brighter Homes, Greater Goods, The Green Store, EPUBS Energy Store, Next Step Recycling, Lane County Electric Co-op, Smart Source Product Center, and Oregon Constant Gardens in Springfield. This message is brought to you by Lane County Public Works in association with EARS, Eugene Area Radio Stations.
Hi, this is Dick Dale, King of the Soap Guitar. You're listening to KWVA Eugene 88.1. Listen to the thunder!
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of KWVA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large.
Anarchy Radio, February 3rd. That was part of the last movement of Mahler's Fifth. And here we are. Just Carl and me. And have a nice hour. Don't forget to call in. 346-0645. Been getting more emails and even phone calls now and then off air. Always good to have. Have I mentioned I don't really want to have any Facebook friends? Or MySpace friends, or I get a lot of emails, and I'm grateful for it. I'm very glad of it. So, but I don't need to go that other route. Well, I'll get back to this thread here in a second. But Obama has another cabinet nominee who crashed and burned. Daschle didn't pay his taxes, and never mind the $2 million from one lobbying firm alone. I'm all for not paying taxes in the direction of no government, no mass society. But this is the same old racket with a bigger dose of hypocrisy and as with the Bush gang. In fact, sometimes it's the same Bush people. Meanwhile, the Big O approves renditions, that oldie and goodie from the Bush thing. So he can say, against torture, we don't torture. What we do is we ship people to places where they will torture the hell out of these people. That's what renditions is. And as the Wall Street CEOs take $20 billion in bonuses and Exxon sets record profits, record upon record, it seems like every quarter it's a new record, nothing changes there either. Are these corporate pigs have got to be just laughing. Like how they love voters. Vote Republican for a while, and then they vote Democrat for a while, or whoever they vote for, and it all stays the same. Oh, except for more genocide and ecocide and your rampage killings. Dan P. writes in to say that when Obama talks about wielding technology's wonders, it's an unabashed promise to pursue policies of ecocide as enthusiastically as he has already pledged to maintain policies of genocide. Nice line there. Okay. Yeah, well, here's the Facebook thing. I don't know. This is from the New York Times. I think it was Friday. Friends, until I delete you. This is just great. This is the really important news here. Burger King ran a Whopper sacrifice campaign. I think it's already over. But if you can defriend or unfriend 10 of your Facebook pals, you get a free burger. Nice. You get a free big. So all these people are just chopping them off, you know, the Whopper sacrifice.
How do you prove that?
I guess you got to give them the names, show them your thing. I don't know.
And they check you.
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't say. But Facebook, with its 150 million members, you know, that social networking ecosystem, they like that ecosystem. Yeah, well, it could be more synthetic and ridiculous.
You just feel bad. I think there's a group on Facebook called John Zerzan is an Idiot.
Oh. Does it have friends? Supporters?
I mean, not very many.
Oh, you're just cushioning the blow. Oh, I know you are. Yeah, and it's this big long thing about how, you know, the anguish of kicking people off, you know, what are the grounds for booting them? You know, funny thing, it even includes people you've never even met, never talked to. That wouldn't be so hard, I would imagine. But, you know, I'm sure you get this, too. Mm-hmm. Be my friend, you know, sign up. I want to have you my friend on the thing.
Oh, in my network. Put me in your network.
There you go. My ecosystem network there, yeah. Well, these are friends that you want to hear meaningless trivia about all day long. Somebody says in here, what you had for breakfast and all the mundane stuff. Well, it's pretty great. That's what friendship is all about, I think. It's, okay. So, who knows? I might change my mind and just want to have a lot of friends on Facebook or MySpace. I don't know. You know, but there is a personal thing, I guess, and one thing I wanted to talk about a little later, kind of on a personal thing, is about stress and isolation and depression, which we all have from time to time, if not all the time. And I thought I'd just kick out a few things on that, which may or may not be helpful whatsoever, but yeah, come in on that if you want. It's a big old topic, and I think there could be some upside to that. I mean, I think it's worth talking about. First, let's have some action news. I mean, I think that's, to me, it's kind of implicit that that's helping all of our moods. You know, that is, if you're in the, if you're so inclined to find some joy in acts that certain people do. For example, there were three parties on Thursday night down in Chico. Three big old parties, and they converged, turned into a riot. Two police cruisers were damaged, windshields broken. Friday began the occupation of Waterford Crystal in Ireland. I think the town is Waterford, Ireland. Waterford, and what is the China? I think they're combined. The one makes crystalware, and the other makes China. Kind of famous names. Anyway, I think that's an ongoing situation. It's into 3 or 4 days now. And there was a riot on the weekend at the Reeves County Detention Center in Pecos, Texas. Undocumented folks housed there. Several fires. One detention officer said, this is completely out of control. Thursday night up in Olympia, Blackbird Rom. We played some Blackbird Rom. I think those,
really?
It's a band, well, maybe only once. I think they're from Santa Cruz. It's kind of a pirate, folky kind of thing. Got to play some more, I think. Well, there was a show on the 29th, Thursday. Police broke up a free Blackbird Rom show, and unidentified people wrecked two patrol cars while they were unattended. Windows were smashed, tires slashed. And, you know, there's a lot of Social Rupture Blogspot, and also Bombs and Shields is back. Bombs and Shields is kind of sporadic, but it's a little bit more focused. But Social Rupture Blogspot has a lot of action news. There have been a lot of, in Greece, another thing that's going on in Greece, farmers battling riot police at the Port of Piraeus, which is, adjoins Athens. They are hurting, and they've tried to smash police through police barricades at the port's gates, pelted police with potatoes, and struck them with crooks, traditional tools of Greek shepherds. This has been going on for about 10 days, at least 10 days. I think this was Friday. On the same day in Athens, about 200 smashed their way into Athens City Hall, interrupted a city council meeting to express displeasure with the felling of trees and destruction of a public park to build a parking garage in Athens. Davos, there wasn't a giant turnout to protest the annual late January World Economic Forum, but there were some street clashes, youths throwing bottles and fireworks at police. Yeah, this business with the farmers in Greece is growing. It seems like it's cranking up the general unrest that was going strong in December. There's a lot of that, not just the farmers. And this was a little dismaying here. I mean, it's a nice try, but I think this might have been mentioned on the news in the past hour. Protesters threw an athletic shoe at the prime minister, the Chinese prime minister in Cambridge, in England. And this is the sorry part. The shoe missed Mr. Wen, the premier, by at least 30 feet. Whereas that guy, that Iraqi guy, we were just talking about this, he would have clocked yeah. Bush twice with either shoe. If Bush hadn't dodged out of the way, he would have really taken...
He was a good shot.
Yeah, he was...
Good
he,
arm.
He had a good arm.
He's been drafted already, I think, by the Yankees.
He should be, although they beat him up so bad. Maybe, I don't know how his throwing arm is now. Well, I hope he's okay. Wave of university occupations in the UK in solidarity with Gaza. Quite a lot there. Some ALF news. This is from last month, but just reported. Let's see. Yeah, this is... Well, there's quite a lot of stuff from Mexico. Well, here's one from Uruguay. Let's start this one. This is a little story of opposition to the fur industry. Begins in early January. We warned a fur shop located in the vicinity of downtown that we reject their business of being based on animal exploitation. We graffitied the walls and the windows. Following week, the location was continuing to sell the remains of dead animals as if they were clothes, so we decided to pay another visit throwing paint bombs at the posters at the entrance. The business remained open, so on one of the nights last week, we decided to enlighten the place with beautiful flames of freedom. Quite a lot of damage, and the front of the store destroyed. Okay, and then this is one from Mexico. There is supposedly an important ecological reserve located in Mexico City, and now it is being destroyed by people who consider the land their property. Plants and many trees have been ripped up for the expansion of civilization. Because of this, the ELF could not remain still. Did some lovely pictures here on Bite Back. January 29th, they torched one of those huge steam shovel things. I guess they're not run by steam anymore, but you know what they are. Nice and blackened. And Nature Strikes Back. This was on Saturday, reported on Saturday. Tigers have killed at least four in northern India. 2007 government survey estimated there are 1,500 tigers in all of India, down from about 3,600 5 years ago and about 100,000 a century ago. The really, really free market in New York, this is located at St. Mark's Church in the Bowery. It's got a big write-up in the New York Times. There's a little, the church is talking about kicking them out from this site where they gather to have a monthly really, really free market. And they, of course, give away things, give away services, mutual aid kind of thing. And they're not sure why they're being shown the door, but that may not be, it may not happen. Yeah, here's a couple of resource type things, a couple of tips I got here. This is called the Radical Activism Visual Archive. And you have to just Google that, Radical Activism Visual Archive. And I'm sure you can find it. Visual material about direct action, anarcho-primitivism, and anti-civilization anarchism, among other things, I think. And they have a whole lot of contemporary pictures, flyers, magazine covers. They don't have photographs, but they have pictures of a lot of stuff. And my friend Brad brought this one up. A woman named Phoenicia has a site called Pulling for Wildflowers, which is quite anti-civ, and it's indigenous-oriented. She has a lot of videos there, including one I really like this one, the one I saw, Invitation to Civilization. It shows this, I think, somewhere in Brazil. I could be wrong. And somebody shows up with a written invitation, inviting this tribal people, whoever they are, to join up to civilization. They talk about it for a few minutes, and then they basically say, "We'll kill you if you don't get out of here." So that's the end of that. They rebuffed that invitation. So I think it's, yeah, Pulling for Wildflowers. And here's one, and this is, I think this is, I don't even know if this is Spanish or Portuguese, because I couldn't translate. It's called Mencer, M-E-N-C-E-R, Salvaje. I think this is Portuguese. Salvaje is very, very close to the Spanish. It isn't spelled the same, so I think this is Portuguese. Salvaje means wild or wildness. I think it means go wild or, you know, seize wildness or something like that. This is very anarcho-primitivist, green anarchy-oriented. They have all kinds of stuff. It's, yeah, M-E-N-C-E-R S-A-L-V-A-X-E. They just have a whole lot of resources in that general area. Fire to the Prisons is being published this week. It's already online. Fire to the Prisons number 5, winter 2009. Well, I don't want to keep saying the same old thing, except that I will say they continue to kind of enforce the restriction against being very explicit about anything, but that's okay. I mean, I'm being straight up about this. Very ambitious, very comprehensive. It's all about the attacks, celebrates the attacks, got great photos, 52 pages, extremely well put together, and it frankly says this is propaganda. This is trying to get you fired up, appeal to your the feelings that we have and some of you may have, and it's great. It's not going to show its hand completely, maybe, but it's wonderful for what it is. It's extremely well done. It's always a pleasure to see Fire to the Prisons, an Insurrectionary Anarchist Quarterly. And let's see. Well, we've got some other news and announcements in this section. Also, on Sunday, 2 days ago in Belém, in the Brazilian Amazon region, the World Social Forum ended. This is the resolutely reformist outfit, kind of a world resuscitation of the left, or it tries to be. One of the things that I read about this is really well par for the course, among other things. What they want, they're now trying to organized behind something called Collective Rights of Stateless People, a global network of stateless peoples claiming their collective rights. So we have statism, globalization, all in one pretty package. I guess the, and yeah, it's a kind of a, well, in some way, kind of collectivizing the various indigenous peoples so that they can claim their rights. Their rights, of course, is part of civil society. You know, we know that whole theory, that whole song and dance. But a lot of them don't want civil society. They don't want to be citizens and voters and appeal to governments for rights. They basically want to be left alone. But they're not discussing that. The World Social Forum, of course, is against that. They have no respect for the indigenous dimension, except to try to co-opt them. And that isn't, obviously, that isn't respect. Civil Liberties Defense Center here in Eugene, CL, D.C., on Friday, this Friday, February 6th, at 7 o'clock at the Apocalypse Space on Broadway, 2100 West Broadway, just west of Garfield, they're going to have an evening of fun, a night of gambling with your rights. So that's probably be kind of a some type of benefit involving gambling. And it's if you want to check it out, just go to cldc.org. And that's Friday night, 3 weeks from Friday. And I'll get into this in more detail later as we get closer. But Friday the 27th, this is kind of at the beginning, more or less, of ELAW, the annual environmental law conference here in Eugene at the university. There'll be four bands, Derek Jensen, Alex Rodman with poetry, whole big show at the Wow Hall. You want to mark your calendars already. And this is, I don't know if, this probably doesn't really mean all that much in itself, but I don't remember that we got a specific invitation. I'm talking about Green Anarchy. Invitation from Earth First. The 2009 Organizers Conference and Winter Rendezvous be held February 12th to the 16th. In other words, roughly next weekend, long weekend. Come join us in the wild Santa Rita Mountains as we choose paths for the Earth First movement to take. And this is somewhere near Tucson, more or less. Yeah, it looks interesting. Looks very interesting, and I'm glad we got an invitation. And this summer, actually spring to summer, Earth First is going to have a roadshow, a cross-country tour, to reinvigorate resistance to ecological destruction. Certainly get into that a little later as well. And one other thing here, coincidentally, the brand new issue of Earth First, got it yesterday, the January-February 2009 issue. Very nice surprise, a very, very great issue, and if you, depending on your perspective, obviously, but there were, I think, a good three solid anti-civilization primitivist articles, very strongly so, and I heard that from other people even before it showed up here in Eugene. It's a stronger issue. It seems like, unless it's just a flash in the pan, it's kind of maybe rethinking that leftist orientation and getting down to something one would have thought would be much closer to Earth First outlook, and so it's great to see. This is, there was one thing I didn't like, or I didn't quite get, and it didn't fit in. Not that everything has to follow one pattern. I'm not saying you got to squeeze it into some template. It's fine to have differing things, but this one I thought could have been done a little better. It's a review of Upping the Ante, which is a Marxist magazine, a journal of theory and action. It seemed like the reviewer didn't totally get where this is coming from. Well, more or less. I mean, more or less, I guess. But it's kind of it wants for a little more information, the review, that is. For example, the reviewer says there was a good review of primitivism, quite probably negative, but that's okay, but and that the reviewer liked it, but I don't if you like it or don't like it, I mean, what, that doesn't tell me anything, really. I mean, it doesn't, I don't know what it's about. You know, I don't know what A was written about primitivism, or I don't know what your take on what was written is either. All I know is that you liked it. So that's, it could be improved. But, anyway, I mean, I haven't even, I've certainly heard about upping the ante, but I don't know too much about it. Anyway, this is a good issue. There's a whole lot of stuff, and it seems like it's got a little more fire as well as maybe a deeper orientation, at least this time around. 541-346-0645. We're going to take a little music break, and then...
Twardzik?
No, I don't think it's Twardzik.
No?
It's Pacific Jazz piano music, but I think it's somebody else. I can't even remember it now, but I liked it.
It's got Twardzik on it.
It does, but number 10. Well, if you insist. Richard Twardzik. I love Richard Twardzik.
Okay, let's do this. What is this, Way Down East?
Yeah.
Way Down East.
Check it out. Expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of KWVA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large. Okay, we got basically some product news, some commodity news, more or less, that I thought was interesting. Don't have as many ads of the week because... there aren't any ads as capitalism collapses. You got not so many ads here.
I saw such a good one the other day. I was looking for it, and it's gone. It was for Shell or something. It showed this tailpipe with green leaves coming out of it.
Oh,
and
whoa.
It was just about how bio-clean it all is.
Oh, I missed that one.
It was really good.
Sounds like a winner. Maybe they'll do it again. Well, here's something that should have not been done again or even once. Bob Dylan's Blowin' in the Wind. Gee, Bob Dylan's even older than I am. It took him quite a while to sell out. So now Blowin' in the Wind is to be used in an ad for the cooperative group.
No way.
Yeah, and that's the supermarket group. Yeah, the answer, my friend, is blowing up the aisle or something like that. I mean, Why? Why, Bob? You need the money? I mean, why traduce your reputation like that? That's kind of whacked. This one just came in today. A man has died after his cell phone exploded, severing a major artery in his neck, according to reports. This happened in southern China. He died after he put a new battery in his phone. He changed the battery, put the phone in his breast pocket when it exploded. So the brain cancer is one hazard, the complete technoculture alienation is another, and it might kill you right away. They weren't clear on how this happened or why this happened or even who the maker was, but... So I can't give you the product report in full detail, you understand? Oh, this is a great one here. This is a great toy here. Toys and games for $62. You can get Playmobil Security Checkpoint. Check it out. It's got these little figures.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Walking through the frame there, somebody has a wand to see if you have any bombs on you or anything, and there's a little character looking at the screen as they x-ray your bag.
That's very kid-friendly.
Right. Then they lose your bag, but it's safe somewhere, maybe. It's only $62. Oh, that's a good one. Yep. That's where we're at. How to really mess up the kids, get them to internalize the total surveillance society and all that. It's very good. Well, this is a sort of ad, sort of a commodity. Kaplan University. I don't know where Kaplan University is, but there's a one-minute video. We got somebody on the line, too. One-minute video. It's supposedly a moving critique of education. Well, the current state of education, it's in the form of this professor getting up and apologizing for the sorry state of the university, which, you know, I'm not upholding the university, but this is a way to make it more regimented and alienating than traditional education. It's all going to be online. It'll all be virtual. Then it'll be good. Yeah, it's really sickening. Okay, we got somebody here?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Oh, say, let me turn on my microphone. Yes, we have an ad of the week here.
Oh, goody. Let us have it, please.
Hi, John. I was just calling in to let you know, great ad of the week. I saw this one on a large billboard driving out of a tremendously large metropolitan area.
Hmm.
It's from HSBC, the bank corporation. So they have this advertisement. It's three pictures, all of apparently the exact same image of an apple. One image says organic, another image says imported, and the other image says engineered. And then the caption to this advertisement reads, different values make the world a richer place.
Oh, whoa. I see. Oh, yeah, that's right. Good. It's tolerant and everything, yeah.
Takes all kinds.
Wow, that's great. That's a good one. HSB right. Bank?
HSBC.
HSBC. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's sweet. That's tasty.
Hey, thanks for the show.
Great. Take care, man. Oh, that's way up there with the all-time goodies. It's even kind of subtle. Well, there's I do have a print ad. I just saw this in the old stack of things for Samsung. Oh, I used this already. Why not use it again, though? Capturing the future one pixel at a time. And the text starts out, this is the main thing, the primary role of technology is to enhance the human experience. Samsung. You didn't know that, did you? That's how it's all enhanced. Yesterday... It's not exactly a new thing here, but Google is bringing the internet satellite access to remote African villages such as Antisopia. And according to this piece in the Times yesterday, the last place on Earth that a traveler would expect to find an internet connection, and yet it was there, and some Americans ran into it. They don't even have the infrastructure or anything. Except, non-industrialized life. This is very remote Kenya. And it says, building infrastructure is not necessarily Google's objective, but if you look at all the areas that Google has gone into, you get the idea. This is the penetrating first move. Yeah, they're pushing into these smaller, there's nobody going to be safe. But of course, some people say the real issue is accessibility, but don't you worry, none shall escape is by far the more apt name for that game. And let's see, well, a couple of other kind of economistic things. Local story here, Register Guard, this is about the Liberal city government here. They had a meeting, mayor and city council. They want to make jobs a priority given the situation out there. And this is the kind of unanimous feeling here. Manufacturing is a critical part of the local economy. Quote North Eugene Councilor Mark Clark, it's exciting to think about what kind of manufacturing hub we can become in a new green economy. Which is something like, and this is, if you check this out on Portland Indie Media, it's posted it 2 days ago, I think, and it has one very delicious response. This is all about the, they had a town hall on the economic crisis on Saturday at the First Unitarian Church up in Portland. And, you know, this is the same kind of thing, with a little more leftism thrown in. They want, and it's a very big thing, all kinds of academics and labor people and et cetera. The first workshop, building a green economy. We have an historic opportunity to rebuild our economy into green and sustainable, blah, blah. So once again, this is really, whether you noticed it or not, it's all about capital investment. This is the way to, it is the way to prop up capitalism. It certainly is. It's nothing but, yeah, and industry, I mean, we do know that mines and skyscrapers and trains, all that, heavy trucks, it's all green. It's all sustainable. Quite easily, I guess. And a partnering and caring economy is the backbone of healthy community. Join us as we explore alternative models, existing networks, and new ways to facilitate economic exchange. Here's another one, strengthening our democracy, making democracy work. You know, every tired, useless bromide and cliche they trot out, you know, I like, you know, there's, speaking of ads, McDonald's slogan right now, deeply rooted in the community. You know, that's very believable, too.
It sure is.
You know, what's more community than McDonald's? It's not a global crap food, grease food industry to kill you. No, it's the community. Yeah, right. Tell it to the, what's left of the community. That's really, well, one thing is as preposterous as the other, I would say. Well, I wanted to get into, been having a little bit of exchange with some people, real worthwhile to me about, well, you know, as I said before, about things like isolation, being stressed out, getting depressed. You know, and we're all in that position, and you know, I just thought I'd throw out a few things. I mean, some of these are disconnected, and probably they may or may not be relevant to all of many people. But I've been there. I've been depressed. I've abused alcohol. I wrote about it a little bit in a piece called "So How Did You Become an Anarchist?" which is in Running on Emptiness. And of course, these things are usually interrelated. I think especially the isolation and depression nexus. That's, you know, and there's a whole lot. I mean, we could certainly spend an hour or two just getting warmed up on this, but if anybody wants to call in on this, my own little tip about depression is it's about physical activity, just getting out there and being physical, like, you know, a long, brisk walk. Of course, you don't feel like it when you're depressed. That's the last thing you feel like doing, but I think it can help. Another thing that occurred to me along these lines, a couple of years ago, I was at the Great Lakes Anarchist Get-Together in Toledo, And there was an excellent workshop, I think I mentioned this, but I'm going to bring it up again, about alcohol abuse. And I wish I could have found the booklet. It was just a really thorough, well-presented workshop with a booklet. And then after this analysis, this really good, extremely well-put-together thing, then very much in-depth. And then going around the circle, I think, there were probably at least 20 people at this workshop. It was kind of amazing because I thought everybody would at least give lip service, I wanted to thank the presenter and that I learned a bunch, and it was good. And, everybody could say, that was cool. Thank you. That was really good. That's very good stuff. You're right, and so forth. But almost unanimously, and this is Young Anarchists, and we know about drunk punks and all that sort of thing, but it really was kind of, maybe it shouldn't have been quite as surprising to me, but so many people, it almost seemed like it was unanimous. It wasn't unanimous, but people kept saying, one after another would say, oh yeah, but I'm not going to stop drinking. I need to drink. It's so ugly and just unbelievable out there. You think I'm going to stop drinking? And everybody, one after another, said more or less that. You know, in other words, yeah, you can talk, but I don't care because I'm really in pain. I mean, that, I'm kind of paraphrasing, of course, but it was really, I just was just sitting there checking it out, like, wow. I mean, they were being way honest. You know, they weren't just like, oh, yeah, nod and cool and, like that, but they were just going, yeah, no, that doesn't really, I'm not impressed, I'm not, so. And in terms of the isolation, it's just, I think the only, I'm sure it's not the only thing, but the most obvious thing is to make a move. That's a prescription, And if, like, doing a zine or doing a radio show is too much, there are a lot of other, writing something, even posting something. I mean, posts online don't have to be so shallow and useless and spiteful as they often are. And even, like, if you're thinking about some of these bigger things, and reaching out doesn't guarantee anything. You may not connect. But, one other thing on this, so I take this call here, but I forget when this was, but it was really a pleasant little shock to me. I used to put out flyers, especially, for example, in the 80s with Dan Todd here in Eugene, 80s, nothing going on, pretty much Zippo going on. So we would make these flyers and posters and just have fun fussing with them and then posting them and, we were doing something and we enjoyed each other's company. And I noticed, and this goes back even before that, that some of my most closest relationships, most important relationships I've had have come as a result of doing stuff like that. And I wasn't doing it to get a date. I really wasn't. I mean, it had nothing to do with that. Relationships. I mean, but friendships and, it just seemed to be that way. It was, and including Alice. I mean, I put out one here in 1983 with, I don't remember which of us mainly wrote that one, but it was about the whole onrushing tech thing and the new PC thing and all that stuff. And she saw it and made contact and we argued about it. And then we realized we had a lot in common. We both had daughters and then we, and that was 25 years ago almost. It's gigantically important. I may have never met Alice, except for that. But anyway, so somebody's online?
Yes, we have a comment about alcoholism.
Okay.
From Jeff.
Pro or con? Hello?
Hello? Jeff?
There we go.
Drinking too much.
Sorry, Jeff.
You weren't on there for a second. Could you back up and please start over?
Oh, yeah, hey.
Sorry.
Hey, I was just responding to the comment you were talking about people with alcohol problems and not seeing a reason why they should stop.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, having been there myself for a while, drinking way too much, my answer to that is it's really people who aren't yet ready to stand up and take care of themselves, and they don't see a reason to. And my answer to that was that I decided I had to take care of myself,
mm-hmm.
and I can't do that if I was drunk. And I have other people to take care of, but sitting around waiting for somebody else to deal with this isn't—it's not going to get fixed.
I need to just take care of my own reality, and that to make that happen means I have to stop drinking. And just take responsibility of every day for what I'm doing. And all these theories that you're talking about, which are right on, I really like listening to everything you talked about. Focus on take care of myself and bring those into my everyday. And there's more than enough stuff every day to keep me energized and make me feel good about stuff. And just today, I was at the grocery store staring at the beer case and turned around and walked away.
Wow.
And there's ways out of that, you know. Kind of contrary to the kind of anarchist perspective with that, you know, I decided to go back to law school as a way to climb myself out of that depression, feeling like I was disempowered, you know. That's kind of my way, you know, of finding stuff to do. But there's ways to do things, you know.
Yeah.
Take control and find your path and stop waiting for other people to create a vision or a reason to motivate you.
Mm-hmm.
Find it in yourself.
Yeah, tough but true, I think.
Yeah, but I know what you're talking about. When you're drinking, it's hard to see outside of that.
Yeah.
And it took a long time for me to find a way to break through.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
Good for you.
I just want to share that.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
Yeah, that's a wise point, and I think it made me also think of the old enabling thing that... And I've seen that. I've been a part of that, and not enabling the drinking. You know, people can say, well, he knows what he's doing, or, you know, don't want to get in there, and that isn't helpful, obviously. I mean, you're really promoting it. You're making it seem okay, and instead of, you know, like, I don't want to be doing this all the time with you. You gotta realize, you know, that's another part of it, because often it doesn't. Often it is a social thing, and you check around, and, well, they're all doing it, too, and they're not saying it's a nowhere thing to do, so I guess it's okay. You know, that can be part of it. So, all right, that was a good call. And, you know, sometimes I don't want to put a Pollyanna happy face on this, but sometimes we're not maybe as isolated as we think. I mean, I've noticed... at least occasionally, that sometimes just speaking out breaks the spell of conformity. I'm not talking about alcohol here. I'm just talking about isolation, feeling, for example, politically isolated. There can be, sometimes people are just kind of waiting. Maybe it's a little bit like enabling, maybe waiting for somebody to just call you on it. But what I'm talking about here is sometimes people are thinking something, but they're checking around and they don't hear anyone else saying it, so they kind of go along. You know, they just go along with the useless stuff that has prevailed for so long. And sometimes if you just speak up, it can kind of dash that that illusion or that kind of passive uniformity. And then you discover that you have some possible friends and comrades that really were thinking of that but weren't saying it. Somebody's got to say it. I'm not trying to boast or anything, but I have had some good experiences. We just get up and let it fly. The hell with it. Just say it. And I've been surprised sometimes at getting a very good response, you know, a very supportive response. And people already knew that, but nobody was saying it, and they're waiting for somebody to say it, and then you say it. And then, like, even, for example, like, if you go... you know, to check out some project or some meeting and you think, well, this is kind of dreary, I'm not really interested in it. And you might put out your perspective and then find that there might be one or two others who feel that way. And then maybe you can do something together and take off from there. Because sometimes we settle for things that are seem to be the prescribed thing, the accepted thing, the kind of respectable thing. And everybody knows it's a crock. But, you know, somebody's got to blow that up. Okay, 346-0645. A couple of good calls there. Yeah, well, I'm going to talk a little bit about some other aspects of health. I mean, we can read the reports. There was one in these times a while ago about how American workers are sicker and sadder and less productive and so forth. And that's true, and people are... people are more stressed now with the giant layoffs. Every day there's X thousands at some big corporation or another, and including the smaller ones, all the small businesses closing. People work there. But there's another kind of interesting thing. Here's the Sunday New York Times, the business section. Catherine turned me on to this. There was a piece. These are a couple of things from very recent years. One is called Healthy Living in Hard Times by Christopher Room, University of North Carolina economist, pointed out that the death rate falls as unemployment rises, which is kind of interesting. A 1% increase in the unemployment rate on average decreases the death rate by 0.5%. So the number of corporados who kill themselves apparently doesn't overcome the general fact there. David Potts, studying the social history of Australia in the 30s, has a fairly recent book called The Myth of the Great Depression. Australia's suicide rate spiked in 1930, but overall health improved and death rates declined after 1930. Suicide rates declined as well. So I'm not saying world depression is a wonderful thing, but it's and there's more we could get into on that topic if we start thinking about self-reliance and things like that. Meanwhile, this is from our good old campus paper here about 10 days ago, the Daily Emerald, about students using different kinds of sleep medication. Use by 18 to 24-year-olds tripled from 98 to 2006. It's only 8 years. It tripled. TV and video games increase teen depression risk. This is well known. There's just one more story on that that just came out on Monday. A study of 4,100 adolescents who weren't depressed when the study began, before DVDs and internet, and it charts how much greater their media exposure became and how many had developed symptoms consistent with depression. Yeah, but you can take brain-enhancing drugs. Yeah, you can kind of just, you can just go that way. That's a scary thing. Here's a book that hasn't emerged yet. Hasn't actually, I don't think it's coming out in about a week. Jacqueline Olds and Richard Schwartz, The Lonely American, Drifting Apart in the 21st Century. Speaking of isolation, yeah, this is one more thing. I think this sums up a lot of the research on physiological and cognitive effects of the growing isolation and loneliness more and more in the technoculture. And there have been dramatic increases in illiteracy, according to the Department of Education and its studies involving people in California, New York, and Florida. And kids who suffer abuse, physical or psychological, and becoming anxious or depressed have a much higher rate of, or much higher risk of developing asthma. Oh, in China, this is a BBC story. They have noticed an alarming rise in the number of babies with birth defects, especially in the coal mining heartland of Shaanxi province. High fructose corn syrup, this is a U.S. thing, it's in practically everything. High fructose corn syrup contains mercury. Nearly a third of 55 popular brand name food and beverages products where high fructose corn syrup is the first or second highest labeled ingredient has a very high level of mercury. Something that started 2 years ago, there's a deadly bat disease called white nose syndrome. Bats are dying in the hundreds of thousands in the Northeast, and they're even more afraid of this spreading, and more people getting sick. It's spread to 6 states, and they're afraid it's going to race across the country. Yeah, this is not only killing off bats, but this is a pretty dangerous thing. Oh, and this is a good one right here. This is in the weekend papers. Getting rid of old medicines, don't flush. With, for example, prescription drug abuse is increasing at an alarming rate. Everybody's got a medicine cabinet full of pharmas of one kind or another, and if you pour it down the toilet, it's gonna mess up everything. It's the new radioactive waste. Oh my God. And Environmental Health News last week says that we've long been exposed to antibiotics in meat and milk. Now new research shows that they may also be ingesting them from vegetables, even ones grown on organic farms. And just today, this is switching away from health in a sense, but not in another sense. The Great China Earthquake last year, which killed 80,000 people in China, this just came out today, that not the Three Gorges Dam, but another enormous, fairly recent dam in China, the Xipingpu Dam, very close to the epicenter of the May 12th quake in Sichuan Province in southern China. It's pretty much unanimous that the giant reservoir caused by that put an inordinate strain on the fracture, on the fault. And so that the earthquake was man-made. It wouldn't happen without the dam building thing there, as elsewhere, is running amok. Well, let's see. I don't know if we... Oh, gosh, we're just about out of time. But the whole depression thing, I'd like to talk about that some more. The new book called Acedia and Me by Kathleen Norris. I never heard of Acedia, to be quite frank, but it's almost synonymous. Soul Weariness is another name. It's, I don't know why it's distinct from depression. Maybe it isn't. But this is... she talks about a universal plague of acedia. So everybody's feeling it. Doesn't matter what your ideas are. And maybe we should spend more time on that, get a little more personal, and kick this around, because it's a kind of a scourge that we're all trying to cope with. And there are different, people try different things. It's not easy to move against the isolation and start trying to do something and finding the people to do it with, or even sometimes quite necessary to just try to do something yourself and see where it goes. And it's got to be better than being debilitated by depression, but that can happen. It's not, there may be no easy solution or even difficult solution. It's a tough one. But we have to try to help each other to combat that and help each other out. Well, let's see. Which do you think we should play, Carl?
We got both of them in there, so we're good.
Can we play the Luddite one?
Let's do the Luddite one.
Beautiful. This is a great one to go out. I can't wait to hear this.
This is from The Gourds, their new album called Haymaker. And the song is called Luddite Juice.
Me. They had to cut me loose. He would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
My father would drive me all the way to the mall. He wouldn't stop until we were right in front of my friends. And oh my God, when...
I wanted to go to Europe, and he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. And that one time...
He insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Stephen totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And...
The time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics, because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them. Horrify them. Freak them out. Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
KWVA Eugene.
You are tuned in to 88.1 KWVA Eugene. Good evening, I'm D.J. Buica. Welcome to this special edition of Notes from the Underground, your surreal voyage through the netherworld of the underground. Like I do on my regular Sunday night midnight program, going in today I will be playing experimental, noise, industrial, miscellaneous. So if you've got some requests along those lines, you can call me at 346-0645. That was kind of like a last-minute call. I wasn't able to gather a whole bunch of stuff, but you can try me. So please join me. Let's all stick our tongues out at the Crystal Palace, reestablished in music genres. Also joined tonight by Hobby Knife, who will be in here shortly and possibly have some words to say a little later on tonight. I'm going to start off tonight's show with a nice, long 30-minute track from our good friend, Mr. Rubbish.